more on whether or not we have any religious freedom in this country. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you, although I'm a little taken aback by the subject we're discussing.
Well, we're following up on what we talked about yesterday's program, and that's with Hobby Lobby stores and David and Barbara Green, who are the owners, who are evangelical Christians, Chuck, who run their company according to Christian principles, including not being open on Sundays like our friends over at Chick-fil-A do as well, who also run their company on Christian principles. And Hobby Lobby decided to sue the federal government over the implementation of Obamacare, stating that it would be against their deeply held religious beliefs to provide insurance to their employees that would allow them to have abortions and kill innocent unborn children. Sounds to me like a fairly consistent viewpoint. But that isn't what the Obama administration or the United States Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor seems to believe. See, what they seem to believe, and what we talked about yesterday, is that because these Christians, David and Barbara Green, decided to do what so many other Americans, including you and me, have done, Chuck, and that is to try to better themselves and pursue their happiness, as we have an inalienable right to do under our form of government, that because they formed a corporation and started Hobby Lobby and have been extremely successful with it, they've engaged in commerce, and therefore, as Americans, and they're both American citizens, as Americans, they have given up their First Amendment rights to the free expression of their religion because they formed a corporation and they're engaging in quote-unquote commercial speech.
Well, when the government comes out and argues that your right of freedom of speech, the protections under the Free Exercise Clause, is only available to special groups, the argument is, quote, this is because although the First Amendment freedoms of speech and association are rights enjoyed by religious and secular groups alike, the Free Exercise Clause gives special solicitude to the rights of religious organizations. So in other words, as a corporation, you're not allowed to practice your Christian principles?
Let's back up here just a quick minute. What is an organization, Charles? An organization is a group that is formed together and they have some kind of, well, mostly, have some kind of governing documents that state their purpose, their mission, how they handle things. Sometimes you call them a constitution. Sometimes you call them bylaws. Sometimes you call them corporate articles.
Yeah.
But the point is, they're all organizations. And if all of them have in their bylaws, constitutions, corporate articles, whatever you have, that the part of their mission is to advance their religious beliefs or to honor their principles, their religious organization, Chuck.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole point. And so if there's special solicitude given for religious organizations under the Free Exercise Clause, well, I got news for Assistant Attorney General Stuart Delery, I believe it's his, Delery, excuse me, Acting Assistant Attorney General Stuart Delery, who's working for the Obama administration, you just killed your own case, buddy. Now, the big problem is Hobby Lobby had sued this, and they had gone to the district courts, and the district court said no. And so they took it to the Court of Appeals. They'd first gone to the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Oklahoma because Hobby Lobby is headquartered in Oklahoma. And so then they go up to the circuit court, and the reason why, and we talked about this yesterday, but I think we missed this idea, the reason why Sonia Sotomayor was the one who gave the ruling, the single
because
ruling.
Because she has jurisdiction over that. Yeah.
She is the one of the Supremes who that particular circuit that comes out of the Western states.
I should have thought of that. Every Supreme Court justice, a lot of people don't understand this. This is a rule of the court. It's not constitutional per se. It's not a bad rule, but it's not specifically laid out in the Constitution. Every Supreme Court justice has a set of
circuits
that they cover. So if something happens in their circuit and there's an upcoming Supreme Court case and their name
Or ask for an emergency injunction, which is what happened here.
It automatically goes to that Supreme Court justice.
Well, it just so happens Sonia Sotomayor is the justice on the U.S. Supreme Court that covers appeals from the 10th Circuit, which is where they filed their case. Now, the point is, they had a three-judge panel in the circuit, They could have asked for an en banc hearing of the entire circuit, but they immediately, because this was in the end of December, and the fines and penalties or the mandate for them to have to supply this coverage was January 1 of this year, just a few days ago. So it was an emergency because of time. Well, Sotomayor refused to allow the injunction. So what Green and his wife, and they've done through their attorney, has basically said, we are not going to start complying with that mandate. And as in today, we're taping this for January the 8th on the 5th. And so far, they have not complied with that mandate, just like they promised.
Yeah, so the,
and so at least if they don't do it by the Tuesday when this runs, we are looking at $10 million in fines to Hobby Lobby in 8 days.
In a month, they would accrue about $39 million in fines.
Yes, it would be. It's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. But they said that they're going to continue their appeal before the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. So in other words, they're asking for the en banc hearing because they got shot down by two out of the three judges. So it was a split decision in the three-judge panel that heard their appeal. And basically, their attorney said, listen, the real deal is the Supreme Court just decided not to get involved. They wouldn't grant the injunction. They were just like, you guys go ahead and do that. But they have a chance on appeal. So Sotomayor's decision in this was only as to whether or not to bring it up and grant an injunction and have the Supremes kind of take over and work this.
Even with an injunction granted, isn't a guarantee that the Supreme Court's going to take it up.
No, not at all.
In fact, basically an injunction goes away if the Supreme Court says, nope, we're not going to hear this. Barry, I'm just about going to guarantee that the Supreme Court's going to take one of these cases.
And I think they have to, Charles.
I don't see how they get around it. There are so many of them. In fact, the Catholic Church has applied what I think is an excellent strategy. They just said, okay, everybody go. We're not going to file one suit. Everybody go out and file one.
Yes.
Because I don't know how many Catholic universities. Yeah, the shotgun approach. I don't know how many Catholic universities have filed these suits. We've got a number of Protestant outlets that have also filed the suits. Liberty University. There are a number of religious-based universities who are filing these suits. And it's not a bad approach to take because, I'd be quite honest, in fact, the Supreme Court basically ordered one of the Virginia circuits to take another look at the case that was ruled upon against Liberty University.
Yes.
And the Supreme Court said, nope, not good enough. You didn't take a close enough look. You need to look at this again.
That's called remanding it back to the
circuit.
That's
right. They remanded it back to the circuit.
With directions on how to go about looking at it.
That's right. Now, what that tells me is that John Roberts didn't like the reaction that he got when he converted what was clearly
an unconstitutional penalty
into a tax.
Into a supposedly gerrymandered constitutional tax.
Yes.
Well, you think? You think that he didn't like that response? I'm sure that probably among his conservative friends, he's not getting invited to too many cocktail parties.
Well, it depends, Barry, because the support for Obamacare is here, there, everywhere. It's weird. It's coming, popping out of weird places, and it's sort of like people, you know, my wife and I have trouble now because I'm 55 years old, and everybody, the cost of health care is going up. And it's not gotten any better with this. In fact, it's gotten worse. Because everybody assumes that I'm insured, and they hand me these gigantic bills, and I'm like, that's not getting paid. I didn't agree to this amount. You need to give me a self-pay price. Well, nobody's on self-pay anymore.
Somebody is.
I am.
Welcome to your first experience.
That's right. I have catastrophic insurance, and that alone, so if you want to do surgery on me, that'll get paid for. If you want to charge me $1,000 for a test, not going to happen.
And I'm not paying $1,000
for
a test.
No, I won't pay $1,000 for a test.
Well,
so you're seeing support come out in from weird places, and including people who you would think thoroughly through it and see that the real problem is government intervention has increased the cost astronomically rather than, oh my gosh, we've got a crisis, we've got to handle it. Only the government has the resources to be able to pay for it.
Yeah, that's the Superman theory of government.
Superman theory, yeah.
But, you know, let's look at this here with Hobby Lobby, okay? The acting assistant attorney general, who probably won't be acting very much longer after this, because honestly, Chuck, I am not an attorney, nor do I play one on the radio, but I think I could come up with really good ways of knocking this thing down. I mean, his first argument is that Americans lose their First Amendment right to freely exercise their religion when they form a corporation and engage in commerce. We talked about that yesterday. That thing's a full of holes. It's not
that
even funny.
That dog won't hunt.
That dog really won't hunt. And secondly, and he tries to get around that by playing fast and loose with words, and define Hobby Lobby as a secular employer, and by definition, a secular entity does not exercise religion. Au contraire, mon frere, because if you think more carefully about it, Hobby Lobby, formed by David Green and his wife Barbara, they're evangelical Christians, and they state that, quote, they've always sought to run Hobby Lobby in harmony with God's laws and in a manner which brings glory to God. Okay? Now, that's how they started this company, and that's what they've continued to do. That's their mission statement, Charles. Which means, guess what? They're a religious company.
That's right.
I don't think Progressive Insurance up in Cleveland is saying that they're running their company in harmony with God's laws and in a manner which brings glory to Him.
You mean by not paying their claims, they're operating, they're not operating by God's laws?
Well, no, I think by maybe funneling tens of millions of dollars to groups like the ACLU and the Human Rights Campaign, yeah, they're probably not following
A lot God's of people
laws.
Don't understand that when they're dealing with groups like GEICO and
Progressive
and a number of insurance companies that are big advertisers and not so good on paying their claims, you can ask anybody who repairs cars and see which ones are the worst players, and you'll find that the worst players in the industry, at least from that aspect, are the guys who run the most advertising. But Progressive has been known for years and years and years to pump money into far-left causes.
Oh, absolutely. And they're not shy about it either.
No, hence the name.
Peter Lewis, who's the chairman of Progressive Insurance, has written, at one point in time, he wrote $7 million to the ACLU. And he's written other millions and millions of dollars to various leftist progressive groups. Because that's, if you think about it, the name of the company, Progressive Insurance. He's a progressive. He is a liberal, ladies and gentlemen, and you get those great insurance rates, but hey, we'll give it to you when you put this little thing in your car so that we can watch what you do all the time.
And if the government requests it, we'll hand it over at a badge flash.
Well, exactly. But let's kind of roll back to Hobby Lobby, which is a religious organization, and are seeking to run their company in harmony with God's laws and in a manner which brings glory to God. But, you see, Acting Assistant Attorney General Stuart Delery didn't quite pick that up because he says, well, the Free Exercise Clause gives special solicitude to the rights of religious organizations. Bingo, you're right, it does. That's why you need to leave Hobby Lobby alone.
That's right.
But then he goes against this other one. He says that the administration argues it can force a person to act against his religion. Really? Can the government force someone to act against their religion so long as the coercion, so they're just basically admitting this is coercion, fines and penalties for not doing what the government wants is coercion. Great. I'm glad you put it out there that way.
Yes.
That so long as the coercion is done under the authority of a law, and right there we got to stop because Obamacare is not a law.
No, it's not.
It is a bad decision by the United States Supreme Court. But there is no constitutional authority for Congress to have had the authority to even entertain this bill when it first came up, because there is nothing in Article 1, Section 8 that gives them any ability to weigh in on health care issues.
Look, you can't even stretch the Interstate Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, the Preamble, any of these things, the General Welfare Clause.
Well, we're not worried about stretching it anymore. We're spindling, folding, and mutilating.
Well, look, the Constitution is frankly being ignored. I know we're going to handle some of that later in the week.
Yes.
But as we've handled it in the past. But the fact is that I believe that the government needs to go back and read the Book of Acts. Are we to obey God or are we to obey men? And the answer is, we are to obey God.
That's right. Well, part of the other argument, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, I want to talk just briefly about today, says that it's okay to coerce somebody to act against their religious beliefs as long as the law is neutral and generally applicable. Obamacare is definitely not neutral.
No.
Because it's mandating specific actions by specific players. It's also not generally applicable because even before it was fully implemented, there have been numerous exemptions written to special interest groups that are friendly to the Obama administration, including some court decisions that have given exemptions to various groups who make a challenge that it would violate whatever, whether it's their commercial speech or whatever, to have that mandate put upon them. So, neutral and generally applicable? I think that's what we call three strikes and you're out, Mr. Delery.
And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for a continuation of this and related subjects on principles and policies.